It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Yo, Queerly.
We are back.
And excited to be back. So, what's your joy for today, Jenny?
My joy for today is actually you sharing something very vulnerable with me. And I'm glad we just took that moment to talk through that and process that, because that was a lot. And I'm very proud of you for being vulnerable with me. And thank you.
Thank you for holding that space for me.
Yeah. What about you? What's your joy?
My joy today, I'm just very thankful to have Jenny in my life. There's so many things that I've learned from just being able to have long conversations with her, from her work ethic. It's been good for me. It's still good for me. But also having just the other side of her, which is her and her partner in my life, I'm just so thankful, because I've got two queer friends, because I just got to know one person, so now I have two friends. I'm just really thankful for that, and that is Aww. Something that brought me a lot of joy this week.
Aw, thanks, Mary.
Anyway, we're diving into the world of content creation. We live in a world where there's a lot of information, and we live in a world where, especially over the past 10 years, I would say, social media has really blown so big, and it's had its good sides, but there's also been downsides to social media. And the word that has actually come out of that 10-year period has been content creation. Mm-hmm. We hear a lot of people talking about this, social media manager or content creation. And I feel like content creators have been a very important segment of our lives over the past 10 years. Now, someone might say, some content creators are, you know, pretending like what we see on social media is not real. But as a queer person that came out later in life, content creation is the one thing that I have found precious. It's the one thing where I've been able to find virtual community.
Yeah.
And it's the one thing where I have learned things that I wouldn't have been able to learn otherwise. What do you think of content creation, Jenny?
No, I completely agree with you. I am so grateful for the content creators that I like followed when I was first like coming into my identity. Otherwise, I wouldn't have really known what to do or how to navigate that journey. And plus we're in a pandemic, so like I didn't have people in real life to navigate this with, because everyone was sheltered in place. So content creators were who I turned to.
Yeah, and I really agree with you. It's who we turn to be honest. And it would be, if the word is not even remiss, it would be unfair of us not to actually give props or to them, because I think a lot of who we are today is because of the research that they did. And a lot of people don't understand that a lot of research goes into creating content.
So much.
I mean, some of it is entertainment, but some of it is very intentional. Some of these content creators are just creating an education or an educative platform, and a lot of research goes into that. Very careful research, sometimes it's high level. Yeah. I've learned so many things that I wasn't taught in school or that I couldn't really find within my community, but I was able to find in a virtual community.
Yeah.
And content creation like takes a whole different range. There's blogs, which is like for people that like to read. I like to read, so I also like go to a lot of blogs just to read what people are saying. There's videos, so this could be like YouTube or TikTok or Reels. Mm-hmm. There's also podcasts, like the audio. So this usually comes out as podcasts. And I think what we're doing today is sort of sharing which content creators we lean towards and why that was
important for us,
like as people that were navigating being queer. And just to add one thing is, the LGBTQIA plus community is a minority. And so sometimes it's not easy to find people like you next door or even at school, for those that go to school, or even at your workplace. And so sometimes for us to find these communities or people who are talking openly or safe spaces, sometimes it's virtually. And so I think content creators have actually played a big role in holding space for the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
Now, for me personally, I love podcasts. Uh-huh. Like, podcasts is my thing. I'm going to, when I'm driving long distances, it's a podcast. When I'm going to work, it's a podcast. When I'm coming back from work, it's a podcast. And there's two podcasts I'd just like to mention that have held space for me.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is We Can Do Hard Things. I think the or hosted by Glennon Doyle and Abby.
Yeah.
And, whoa, I'm forgetting the wife's name, but Glennon Doyle is married and has a wife. And so they host the podcast as three people. One of the things that I love most about listening to We Can Do Hard Things is they dive deep into topics that people otherwise think about or are not ready to discuss. And so I have learned a lot from things they talk about or their experiences that they share. And Abby is married to Doyle, and then Glennon's sister, they just call her sister on actually the podcast. So sister is a cis woman, heterosexual with children. One of the things I love about We Can Do Hard Things is they have these double dates. So sometimes Glennon and Abby will host, they'll host another couple, sometimes a queer couple, sometimes not. And they're talking about their experiences and coming out and things like that. And for me, what's beautiful about that is to be able to hear the struggles they've faced, but also how they overcome them, but also to hear about a healthy queer relationship, which I think is very important.
Yeah.
I also want to give props to Lesbian Chronicles, which is the podcast that I really listened to initially. This podcast is hosted by women that were originally married to men. So they have children. They've had very good relationships with their exes. They don't even regret. They don't regret being married to men. And they came out later in life. So usually the podcast is exploring that, like being married, having blended families, having how'd you come out to your children? They explore that kind. And it's, for me, it's been so educative because they are right about my age.
Yeah.
And so, you know, listening to how they are navigating life, it holds me down, but also shows me that like, there's not one single way to find your path into your identity.
Mm-hmm.
They were married before. They don't regret their marriages at all.
Yeah.
They have healthy relationships with their ex-husbands, very healthy. And now they're blending this whole family
together.
That's
beautiful.
The third podcast, which is not so much that it helped me, but I think Queerly has played
Props.
A big role.
Shout out.
It's played a big role in, it's like therapy. For Jenny and I, you know, we sit here and we dive deep into some easy topics, but some very tough topics.
Yeah.
But also just us adding our voice to the LGBT community, I feel like we've had people talk to us about how the episodes have helped them. We feel like sharing our stories helps other people find community in us, even if we're not in the same place geographically and that has been beautiful for me. So that podcast, that's my content go-to place. What about you, Jenny?
No, I love those. I think I've only listened to a few of those episodes of the podcast that you've mentioned, but I need to listen to more because it's powerful stuff. Yeah. But the one podcast that I listen to constantly is Bad Queers. They are so hilarious and like so cool and intelligent. And like, I just like listening to them because I feel like I'm in a room with them. It's hosted by Chris and Shayna from the Her app. So this is, I think, funded and put on by the Her app. And they're the hosts. and they discuss breaking stereotypes, owning your identity, and their unpopular queer opinions. Bad queers will leave you both offended and inspired by the news, stories, and advice about the very fluid, very real LGBTQ plus experience. And they really touch on everything.
Yeah.
One of my favorite segments that they have is their bad queer opinion. And they're just like so honest and like they don't agree all the time. And I just like seeing those real ass conversations between like friends and people that are so honest. And it really makes you think like, am I being that honest in my conversations or my friendships, you know, or my relationships? And it makes you think. And they touch on like news stories. So I'm constantly being updated with news stories that I may have missed.
Yeah. And I like when you talk about that they don't always agree, because that's life.
Yeah.
No, you, we won't always agree, even with people that we love. We might have different opinions. And I think I've listened, I think you've recommended that podcast to me, and I've listened to it before. I won't always listen, but it's a pretty good podcast. Yeah. If you're looking for recommendations out there to learn more.
That's definitely my favorite podcast.
Yeah.
Something that I do want to touch on too, in the beginning when we went into a shelter in place, TikTok was blowing up and I found myself on like gay TikTok, and then I started like researching like what hashtags am I like looking for so I can see more of this content. And it's WLW, Women Loving Women, lesbian TikTok. Like I was searching LGBTQ. I was searching all of that just to see queer people and especially queer women. Yeah. For me, I think that helped because it gave me little snapshots of how different queerness can look.
Yeah.
You know, and how queerness can be expressed differently.
Yeah.
And it made me really go down a rabbit hole.
Seriously, I really relate with you on the TikTok content creation. I think I did also go down a rabbit hole. And I think when I think about it, it could be possible that the reason it filled a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by a vacuum is growing up, I did not really see any healthy expression between queer people. I did not know any queer couples. I did not really have queer friends. And so being able to see this content that's created by TikTokers, some of it was really funny.
It's really funny.
Some of it was really actually educative. Like it was just fact after fact after fact, and it was so good. Actually, I met there's a TikToker I got attracted to, not sexual attraction, just their content was attractive to me, because at that point in my life I was struggling with reconciling my sexuality and being raised by Christians or like my Christian faith. And I'll mention the TikToker. I am Kim Daly. As of today, I have met Kim Daly in person, and I can call Kim Daly my friend. But also, what was intriguing to me about her content is she was showing us what a healthy queer couple was like, because there would be like random videos of her and her partner just go doing life, you know. There'd be videos about her work. She's a lawyer by profession. And then there'd also be videos about her talking about her experience as someone that used to be in ministry and how they struggled with their attraction to women and how they eventually came into their identity and are now married but also a Christian. And in that, I actually, you know, went, you know, set up an interview with her and joined the group she was running and that kind of thing. And even if TikTok was just more of an, I would say like an entertainment thing, like a social media platform for entertainment, and not that everything on TikTok is factual or true.
Yeah.
There is just a beauty in us you know, typing in LWL or lesbians over 30, because that's what I used to say. WLW. I used to type in lesbians over 30 and finding people who are like you.
Yeah. So easily.
Yeah. So easily.
And they're just living their lives.
Right. Yeah. It's so beautiful. But yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on your TikTok content creators.
Yeah. I don't really have like specific TikTok content creators I want to talk about. I just wanted to mention those hashtags that was like super helpful for me. And that I would like, you know, fall down rabbit holes and learned a lot. But a place that I went to a lot was actually YouTube. And there were only a few content creators that I really stuck with, like going back to all of their videos and watching it. But my favorite YouTube content creator, queer content creator, is Jade Fox. And she, you know, talks about LGBT lifestyle and entertainment. She does comedic content surrounding pop culture, entertainment, and gay culture. And she is just phenomenal in her comedic timing, in her like her presentations, what she's talking about, super honest. She's sarcastic. It's just, she's everything that when I think the first video I stumbled upon, I was like, who is this? I need to know everything about her. I need to watch all her videos because it's super informative too. And one thing that I had mentioned to you earlier was, you know, one thing that was really hard for me to navigate or to like research were like sex toys. And she gets sex toys sent to her by certain companies to like review them. And it was such, she made it in such a like a fun way where she's like reviewing these toys, showing you how to like use it. And I think that was so helpful for me because I had so many questions. What does this do? How do we do it? You know, what does it look like? Like all of that was just what I was thinking about because I had never experienced that with a woman yet.
Right. Look, thank you, content creators, because where are you going to go and get a free class on sex toys?
Yeah.
Nowhere.
And you can like Google it, right? Yeah. But then this was just someone actually showing you what it looks like, what they do, and like just normalizing like sex positive talk.
And we need sex positivity, to be honest. And you know, she's so right about Jade Fox. Jade Fox was running, I don't know, she ran a project that I happened to participate in at that time. I don't know if it's gone public, but it was a photography. I think she wanted to represent all kinds of black queer people in image.
Yeah.
And it was a good, interesting experience for me. So she's really amazing. And in a certain space that was hosted by Kim, you know, a black space for queer women who are also trying to reconcile their Christianity with their sexuality, I think we ended up talking about presentation. And I remember sharing in that space the struggle that I was having. Like, I want to appear androgynous, like in how I present my body and leaning more towards masculine presenting.
Yeah.
And I was talking about the difficulty of having like a big boobs and having like big hips and like having a bum and how that is just a problem. Like, because I was being vulnerable in that space, and I was saying, I really want to appear androgynous. I want to wear androgynous clothes, and I want to appear more masked than feminine. But like my big boobs won't let me, and my, you know, hips and stuff won't let me. And I do remember Kim sharing a video of where Jade was talking about style and how
made you look. So this is another channel that she started.
Yeah,
all around queer fashion and styles. Yeah. And it's like so great because she's already a great content creator, like on her regular channel, but then she has so much knowledge, I guess, or wisdom around like styles
yeah
and how to dress
yeah
and yeah, it's super helpful.
Yeah, because I really watched everything she was saying, and she's like, people that have, you know, bigger busts, and
yeah,
she was giving advice on the cuts that you get and the shirts and the blazers.
Yeah.
And I was like,
she gives really good advice.
She really does. And yeah, and this is the part of content creation that is so precious.
Mm-hmm.
The part that brings that knowledge to us who might need it.
Yeah.
And it's not just really in queer spaces. There's all kinds of content creators out there, you know, people who talk about pregnancies, all kinds of things like being healthy, healthy eating.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just because in Queerly, we're looking at it from a queer person's lens and how queer people being vulnerable or queer people taking time to create these representations for us and how that has been instrumental in us growing more comfortable in our identities and also being able to learn. There's a lot of things that you just learn from. It's sometimes they're very short clips, you know, 30 seconds, 1 minute, but it's like you're learning a wealth of information from just that one clip. And, you know, outside of TikTok, because I know Instagram came up with Reels, and then Reels also became a big deal. And for me, through Reels, I've been able to see a healthy representation of women loving other women, men loving other men, single sex, healthy, beautiful families. And I actually intentionally curate my Instagram to show me those images because it is so important for me to see a healthy representation, especially as a queer person of color. Because even one of the things right now is, I would say, there's sometimes over-representation of the white people in queer spaces.
In the queer space, yeah.
So like seeing these people of color, like for example, I specifically love following House of K Love. It's two queer women. I specifically love following Kennedy Stokes, married to her partner. They have three beautiful boys. Mm. I love the word queer. They're black. And just seeing that sort of representation on social media and people creating content about their everyday life, sometimes being vulnerable, they're not always like showing us happy. They
show it's us very like, raw and real.
And let me tell you, for me, it was on social media that I learned about how women go through the process of having babies. Not women with men, but like two women who love each other and they're going through their process. I learned that from content creators on I didn't even know that there was a possibility that I could get an egg, because I personally don't want to carry children. I don't ever want to be pregnant. It's just how I feel. But I didn't know that my egg get my egg and my partner could carry
your partner
that,
will carry your that, egg yep
That's
I
beautiful.
Learned that too, and I was like, wow, why didn't I even think of that, you know?
And no one's going to teach us this.
Yeah.
But content creators are taking time to share their lives with us.
Yeah. There is a couple that I follow that are documenting their entire process of trying to get pregnant right now, which is so beautiful. Another YouTube content creator that I really like is EasyXNatalie, and they're so funny. Like, they're hilarious, and their little info line is best friends turned lovers, because Natalie was straight and then Easy was her best friend but has been gay. And throughout like their content creating like journey, there was a time where she confessed like her love to Natalie. And like, this is like all happening like in real time, right? And they're just documenting everything and just putting their lives out there. And I was so hooked. I was just like, what's gonna happen? You know, I like went back to their videos and watched their journey. And it was really cool to see Natalie's journey, because I had always dated men. Now that my partner is a woman, it was interesting for me to just hear Natalie's process as she's going through that, because she knows she has the love for her best friend, And that was just such a huge leap that they both took. And yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, their content makes me die of laughter every single time. So that's one that I really watched in the beginning. I still do too, but not as much. And then some Instagram content creators that I want to mention, who I was mentioning earlier, Eden XJ. So they're a Latina couple. And I really like their dynamic because they are a Gemini Pisces couple, and that's me and my partner. So I like love that parallel. And they are just huge, healthy relationship advocates. So they talk about that and they show their relationship. And I think I learn a lot from them too. They have only a few YouTube YouTube videos, not a lot, but a lot of their content is on like Instagram and I think on TikTok too, but they're the ones documenting or that I've been following for their like IVF journey. And that has been so eye-opening. And they're here in LA. I don't know. It's just so, it's like in my backyard, right? And learning about this couple who's graciously sharing their lives with us all to learn more. So they're another one that I really like on Instagram. And I just have a couple more that I want to mention. Jamie Issa. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her last name right, but I met her at this one like women's circle that I went to in my healing phase, but this was before coming into my identity. I wasn't even close in that time frame, but I had met her and I remember like we just connected really well. And she talked about her queerness, but not as openly. Because I think it was still new to her. Or maybe she didn't identify as queer, but I followed her and on Instagram, she just stepped into her power more and more, into her queerness. And she identifies as a queer Korean-American Renaissance woman, the Gaysian queen of K-Town.
Let's go.
Yeah. And I just love seeing her journey and what she's been doing. And she is like living her best life, living in her power. And I don't know, Jamie, I haven't like seen you again after the first time I met you, but I love everything that you're doing. Yeah. And two more, sorry, real quick, because this is also related to Jamie too. So she started Queer Asian Social, or I don't know if she started it, but she is the creative director of Queer Asian Social Club. So they empower our community around the world through queer Asian, Pacific Islander, Southwest Asian, and Desi visibility. They're collaborating with Asian Mental Health Project, and they created the Queer Asian Mental Health Club. And what's cool about this health club is it's hosted by Jamie, but it's a bi-weekly Zoom series, and they aim to create space for queer Asian community to discuss how our identities and mental health can be harnessed to be our greatest superpowers. So that they just started that. I think they're ending their first season. They've had like 7 sessions, like Zoom sessions.
Wow.
So I think that was like the newest thing that I had like followed and was, I haven't gotten a chance to go to any of the sessions because it's on Monday. It conflicts with another meeting that I have. But I just wanted to like point that out there that is such a good space to be into, to just, you know, embrace and talk about the queerness in Asian communities.
Right. Wow. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you to all content creators. That's the most I can ever do. There's nothing that can pay you the amount of time that you take, the representation you give us, the healthy and factual information that you share. My last one, and I'm not even sure if it's content creation, but I guess I could label it as, I'm a reader. I like to read sometimes short articles, is Otto Straddle.
Oh, yes.
Did I pronounce that right? Otto Straddle? Yeah. It's not really, I can't really call it a blog. It's a news and entertainment site for LGBTQ women and other trans people. And it covers a wide range of information. But I found a lot of very helpful information on this site.
Yeah.
And so if we're looking at content creator, I would say this is, I don't know, it's a sort of, but I really love it. I love Otto Straddle when I'm looking, you know, to know about something, I usually go and there'll usually be something on Autostraddle that's helpful or that I can relate to.
What's your Queerly Noted?
Wow. I hadn't actually really thought of it, but I would say that my Queerly Noted for this episode is share your story.
Mm.
You just never know how powerful it might be or how you're going to change someone's life.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
Let's go. Yeah, what's your Queerly Noted for today's episode?
I think my Queerly Noted is just I'm grateful for these content creators. Like you said it earlier, I'm so grateful because it helped me tremendously on my journey and it gave me the confidence into stepping into my queerness. And I know it's not all content creators, but that was a huge part in my journey.
Can't add anything to that.
Mm-hmm.
Till next time.
Love y'all.
Love you.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you. So please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY.
Love y'all.